Hi, I'm Rami.
And I'm Shannon, and this is Workplace Hugs, where we talk about interesting things we've read, heard, or experienced to help all of us expand our life toolkit with a whole bunch of empathy, but without a whole new degree. Rami, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Conan O'Brien, who I love, Jay Leno, who I have very strong feelings towards that are not positive, and then Jimmy Fallon, who I also strongly dislike.
You don't like Jimmy Fallon?
Here's the thing. All right,
that's
we're gonna talk to me.
He seems like the most like nice, pleasant human being.
If that's how you want to view him, I view him as a host of the Tonight Show, and the Tonight Show is a sacred establishment of people who like know how to interview people. Like when I think of great interviewers, and we give this example a lot in design thinking of like being a really good interviewer. And most people give the example of like Oprah. Oprah's a good interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
My example is David Letterman. He is such a good interviewer to the point where like his Netflix show is literally him on a stage interviewing people. He's not doing stupid human tricks, not doing any of that nonsense. He's interviewing people.
It's interesting you bring up Letterman because I was like, why didn't he talk about Letterman yet? So, okay, you have the utmost respect. Hearing that lens with which you were looking, I can see that. I don't watch a lot of late night TV, but the reels or whatever that I see of Fallon, like it's his personability. It's not like, oh my gosh, he really got into Chappelle and got him to reveal something about his character, his background that really blows your mind, you know? Like,
yeah,
he's not
that
kind of person.
Played friggin' beer pong or karaoke or some nonsense.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like the whole shift in terms of like what he did to it, like really frustrates me. Because back in the day, it'd be like, oh, you saw a clip of, I don't know, Letterman, or you saw a clip of Conan, and it was like because they were interviewing someone and something interesting happened. Now it's pre-manufactured game to make viral clip that is enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. So are we going to learn how to be better interviewers? Because, you know, like we're having a lot of guests on the podcast these days.
No.
Oh, shoot.
I'm just going to yell at clouds for 30 minutes here.
Sweet. I love it. Okay. Where should we start with this yelling?
So the book that I read is called The War for Late Night. It's by Bill Carter. It tells a story of how Jay Leno's Tonight Show that he stole from David Letterman. That's a different book, also written by Bill Carter. Also excellent. And how he refused to give up the Tonight Show for Conan O'Brien.
Oh, maybe Jay Leno is an asshole. I only know him through his Cars show. Nate has sometimes watched that in the past. Doesn't he have a show where he interviews people and does
getting
cars
coffee stuff? With
coffee and cars or something? Anyways,
yeah. I don't know.
That's my only context on him.
Yeah.
Continue forward though. So he was an asshole and he was
so he like hid in a closet and like figured out how to steal the Tonight Show from Conan, who it was promised to, or not Conan, from David Letterman. And then he got the Tonight Show. The Tonight Show, when he was the host, was very bad for a few years. And then he had Hugh Grant on, and Hugh Grant had just gotten busted for picking up a person who he would pay for enjoyment, I guess, for mutual. I don't know. What do you want to call it? And that moment like made his show become like more watched than Letterman's late night show.
Hmm.
And then he was basically like the king of late night for a long time after that. Jay Leno had been the host of the Tonight Show since 92 and announced in 2004 that he would step down and that Conan would take over in 2009.
In 2004, he announced that 5 years later, Conan would be taking over?
Yes. Now, let me give you the context of why. Ooh. Conan in 2004 was the hottest thing on TV. He was hosting his late show with, or the late show whatever, the show that he was hosting.
The Late Late Show or whatever, the show after his show. Mm-hmm.
And it was like the hottest thing on TV. It was like hitting the right demos, like all the young kids were watching it, and everybody wanted Conan everywhere. Conan loves The Tonight Show. It's like the thing. Like when he was little, he wanted to host The Tonight Show. Like he loved Johnny Carson. His parents let him stay up late to watch it. Like he wanted to host The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, knowing that about him, in 2004, NBC, which is where The Tonight Show is, came to him and said, "We know that you have offers to host the show on ABC, which would end up being the Jimmy Kimmel Show." They offered it to him first and then realized, well, if he's not going to take it, maybe we still make a show. Fox offered him a show, which I don't think they've ever ended up doing, but they were in the mix. And they made him, they gave him a contract that said, okay, you stay here for 5 years and we'll give you The Tonight Show. So they like gave him a bonus and he was like, okay, cool. I'm going to sit here for 5 years, but then that show is mine.
Yeah.
At the same time, Jay Leno's Tonight Show is like the number one late night show. And they go to Jay and say, hey, we're going to give you 5 more years to host this. And then Conan's got to take over at that point. And Jay Leno is like, well, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, let's talk about it then. But like, fine, fine. You want to pay me more money and sign me to a 5-year contract? Like, I'm cool with that for now.
Yeah. How did he manage? Forgive me if this is a tangent, but I'm genuinely curious. How did he manage at the end of that 5-year contract to convince them to not honor the agreement?
Oh, Shannon, we will get there. Just
okay.
Wait.
Okay. Okay. I'm so, really genuinely curious about this.
So it's really interesting. And my question for you, Shannon, is this statement that I'm going to make about Conan, which is that something promised in the future is not a guarantee, but it's a way to make you happy and stay put. And I think we see this a lot in our jobs where someone's like, hey, we're going to get you that promotion. You just got to do X and Y, and then you get the promotion. Or, hey, we think we see you in a manager role, but there just aren't any open right now. So if you just stay put, like when the next one opens up, like it will be yours.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is what people describe as the golden handcuffs. And this is like long-term incentive plans, right? So like, here is stock grants for you of our company, but they won't vest for 3 more years. So we hope you stay. Otherwise, you're going to lose X amount of money that we're willing to give you if you just stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do I think about that?
Well, I think even in the fact where they give you something like stock,
yes,
I think that's a tangible thing you can hold on to. I see this happening a lot more where it's like, oh, I want to get promoted or I'm going to go find a new job. And it's like, OK, we really like you. We can't promote you right now, but we're going to. So like, stay here and like, we'll make that happen.
Yeah. I see both sides of it. I think there's wisdom sometimes in learning to be patient. I can say this as a person who is not very patient, or I am saying it as a person who's not very patient. So it's more like, do as I say, not as I would do. But, and also I have seen people get hosed by this.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, honestly, man, I maybe need to start being careful about what I do and don't talk about on this podcast, but like, the family business, you know, it's like I have siblings of mine who've worked for the business for 40 years and they've consistently received like less than market rate pay with the promise that they'll have a larger percentage at the end of it all. You know, like when my parents die and it's passed to the next generation, and they will. And also like, if you need cash right now, you know, like you've got to balance that a little bit over having stock or a share in the business or the promise. Like I'm hearing what you're saying though too, of like the times where you just promise something like, oh yeah, you'll get that promotion next year, and then it's like, well, what if we hit a recession? Who knows? So I see the both, and I don't have a definitive no, don't do that, or yes, do that.
So we'll juxtapose that later with your boy Jimmy Fallon. That's okay. One you like.
Okay. Yeah, he's the one I like.
Let's continue our story here. Okay, so we get to 2009. The official transition took place on June 1st when Conan became the host. Jay Leno did not want to step down, did not want to stop being on TV. So as we were getting into this, Jay Leno was still the top show and is like, I'm going to say like a whiny baby about it, in that he's like complaining to everybody, like, why should I have to step down? My show's the best. Like, why do I have to leave? And like went and talked to ABC about taking Jimmy Kimmel's job. Talked to Fox about getting a show there, talked to everybody about getting a show. And
wow.
This complicates everything because NBC is also saying, well, we have Jay Leno, so can we use him, or can we find a way to, the same thing they did in 2004, which was, how do we keep everything, even though it may not be the best situation for everybody? Like, someone here is going to get screwed.
Yeah. How do we try to keep both people happy?
Yeah. In the 2004 situation, it was, well, we kind of golden handcuffed Conan here. But also Jay was not in any way on board with what was happening. So really no one is happy. Conan is like mostly satiated because he thinks what's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So the situation became very complicated due to a variety of factors, including lower than expected ratings, which affected the performance of NBC's late night lineup. But as a result, NBC decided to make the decision to move Jay to a primetime slot at 10, making him. So they created the Jay Leno show, which would then be the lead in to the news, which would then be Conan after him. So the joke that Conan kept making was, no matter what show I'm hosting, Jay Leno's always going to be right before me. The Jay Leno show, though, was super problematic because it wasn't the same style of show, because they didn't want the Tonight Show to just move to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
I guess 9 p.m. if you're in the Midwest, but like the slot before the nightly news.
Yeah.
And the local news affiliates like did not want Jay Leno leading into them because they were going to lose a bunch of people, where, because a lot of times that show slot right before 10 o'clock is like a procedural of some sort.
Uh-huh.
Because people have to watch the whole thing and then they get to the end and then they're going to watch, where like a Tonight Show type show or the Jay Leno show is like the interview, the most interesting parts are at the beginning, right? Where they do the news, then they do the jokes and they do all the things. That's an easy thing to go from the news into. But the last bits of the show are usually not that good. And so people aren't going to watch the entire thing to then get to the news.
Yeah.
So no one is happy with it. Because the Jay Leno show is doing so poorly, they decide, out of, I don't even know where this idea comes from, to then make Jay Leno's show 30 minutes. Just keep the good parts, which were like his nonsense of like talking to people on the street and reading funny headlines, and put it at the time when the Tonight Show starts, which is 11:35, and then push Conan to 12:05 with the Tonight Show. So the Tonight Show now is not the first thing after the news, would be after this Jay Leno.
He's not really in the late night show slot anymore. Yeah, no, it's like, so Jay's right back in the late night show slot.
So Conan writes this huge letter, but essentially the big piece of it is like the Tonight Show should be airing tonight. If we shift into past midnight, it's tomorrow. It should be called the Tomorrow Show.
That's funny.
And NBC already has the Today Show. Like, you wouldn't do that. And like, he respected the Tonight Show enough that he refused to let it shift because they had no idea what to do with him and Jay. I will say that all of this happened at a really interesting time because, as I'd mentioned earlier, like Jay Leno had like a year or 2 years as the host mm-hmm. where it like was not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Conan had like weeks to months where he wasn't doing well because they just like were getting in the groove of being at that new time slot and new audience and all those things and wasn't really given the ability to succeed in that space.
Mm.
So Conan decides that he's going to leave. By the end of that year, I don't remember when it was, like November or something, they were like negotiating all these things because he had brought his whole crew from New York to LA for the show.
Oh, wow.
And everyone he had worked with for 10 plus years were all going to be out of a job. So they spent a lot of time to make sure that they could take care of everybody. And he also signed a huge contract. Like they had to pay him tens of millions of dollars. So that all took a long time. And then finally it was like, okay, I'm going to be done. My last show will be the 22nd of January, 2010. And he had the show, I think, for about 6 months. But this is the part that I want to focus in on here, which I think is super fascinating. That last month of shows, let's call it 2 or 3 weeks of shows, were some of his best shows across any time slot, across any format, because he was super, super loose. And no longer had the pressure of, I just forced my entire crew to move across the country with me to do this show that I've always wanted to do. Like, this is what has been the pinnacle of my life, has been focused towards. And we need to make this succeed. Like, he had a lot of pressure on himself. And once it was like, oh, this is done, then he cut loose. And those shows are like some of the best shows that he ever did because of how loose he is.
Yeah.
That the ratings, because of the controversy and because of how good it was like the best ratings anyone had ever gotten in late night.
Wow.
Because everybody wanted to see if Conan was just going to implode, right? Like they knew when the end date was.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that he could say certain things, but he couldn't say all the things. And so like,
it was kind of, yeah, I would have watched if I would have known what was going on.
TV at that point because of how you just didn't know what was going to happen. Like they did this joke where they're like, here's a Picasso and we're going to throw caviar on it because we're wasting NBC's money because we don't care anymore. And people were like,
my gosh, that's
what
funny.
Did you do to that Picasso? And they're like, it's not a real Picasso. It's not real caviar.
Yeah.
They're like, this stunt cost $10 million. And then the next night they brought out like a Bugatti and dressed it up like a mouse. Like, this cost us $20 million. Like, they're just being silly. In a way that people, like, wanted to watch. And all the celebrities wanted, because they all like Conan, all would show up and do, like, funny bits. Okay, so my question for you is, Conan didn't really get to succeed or didn't succeed until he had removed his fear, his jitters, his anxieties, his limitations, his restrictions on himself. How do you think we in our day to day could do that without this like golden parachute being on the other end of 2 weeks from now?
I mean, that's a really big freaking question. That's a big question. I'm curious to hear your thoughts and give myself a little bit of time to think about that.
So I think for me, this is, you're in a situation where you're nervous. You're like at the beginning of it. You have a lot of pressure to succeed. I think part of it is doing that thing where we always talk about like looking in the future and saying, okay, if I look back on this moment or this time frame and I visualize myself being very successful in this role, like how would I act differently now?
Hmm.
And I think part of it is not faking it, but part of it is like having a little bit more confidence in yourself, knowing like, oh, I'm going to look in the future in 5 years or 3 years or 10 years. And, you know, this role was a really successful one for me. And here's why. So if I manifest that for myself, then now at the beginning of it, I'm less nervous about like whether or not I'm going to succeed. Like, I know I'm going to succeed. So like, how do I loosen up a little bit and actually like let my true skill set that got me this role allow me to flourish quicker than letting the anxieties like overpower me?
Yeah. Okay. You're sparking some things in me. There's a couple disjointed thoughts. We'll see what wants to be synthesized. The first is I'm hearing you say, like, if I can believe in my future success, like, can I look to the future, see myself successful, and then believe in myself right now? And I like that. And also, I guess this is maybe coming from more of a personal lens. I'm personally working on, and I got to find the episode so I can reference it for people. How can I be okay feeling any feeling so that I can do anything? Do you remember that episode that we did?
Mm-hmm.
I got to find what episode that is. Because for me, that's the way that I'm noticing in myself. That's how I'm performing. I'm performing like with the jitters, with the anxiety, with the limitations, but I'm still like stepping into the game. Like, what's that Brene? It's not a Brene Brown quote, but the Teddy Roosevelt quote of like, be in the arena. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel realistic to lose the jitters or the anxieties or limitations or restrictions without having the assurances that he had. But can we be comfortable feeling any feeling and still show up for ourselves anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess related to that, maybe said differently, more articulately, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, this like binary mindset that I have operated with of like, well, I'm either winning or I'm losing. Like, I'm winning or I'm failing, you know? And my coach actually has invited me to shift into like, you're winning or you're learning.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And so can I... having that in the back of my head has really helped me lose some of my anxiety as well. Cause it's just like, oh, well, I'm not losing. I'm losing nothing. Like, if I post this reel and it's a bust, I just posted a reel the other day that I was like so excited for it was a bust. It's like, whatever. It's like, I'm not losing. Like, I'm learning. I'm like, uh-huh. I'm learning more about like how I like to design things. I'm learning more about just like understanding my own body of work a little bit more, regardless of if it's responded to or not. And I'm learning that even if it hits for one person, it still means a metric fuck ton to me, because it's like mm-hmm. one person's life that got impacted by it. I'd rather have that than 30 more followers because it was some like fucking viral reel. Now you're gonna have to mark this episode explicit. Anyway, so I don't know. Those are like the two thoughts that come up for me. Like, can we shift from a I'm winning or losing to I'm winning or I'm learning mindset? And can we become more skilled at being able to feel sensation in our bodies of like whatever feeling we're feeling and do the thing anyway?
Yeah. Okay. So that happened. Jay Leno took it back over. He was the host, I think, for another 4 years. And he handed off. So let's bring the Jimmy Fallon of things into this. Jimmy Fallon becomes the successor to Conan on his late night show. Really just like no one cares about him because there's so much drama happening outside of him that he can. What do they say about like mediocre white men? He can just like fail upwards.
Oh, I've heard the phrase mediocre white man. I've heard it is like apply to the job, like as if you were a mediocre white man, would you apply to this job? Yes. You know, but I haven't heard that failing upwards thing.
Anyways, like his show was fine. Nothing special about it. But by the time Jay Leno wanted to retire, which was 2014, right? And all this drama was happening in 2010 and 2009 and 2004. There wasn't anybody else around. So guess who gets to take the Tonight Show because he's in the right place and just sitting there at the right time is Jimmy Fallon. So the inverse of the Conan situation is being around and staying put is a good way to get a promotion at the right time.
Mm.
But there's no guarantee, which is like the opposite of someone promising you something. This one is really interesting to me. And I think about it a lot in how my experiences have been in very small companies is a lot of people will move very fast by being in the right place at the right time. Because I had friends who went to companies that grew really fast. And you know what? They became VPs like super quickly. I had friends whose companies went under and like never got that same thing, but all started at the same place. And so it's fascinating to me that had Conan been Conan 10 years later, he would have just had to like ride out 4 years of being very mediocre and then would have gotten the Tonight Show with less fanfare and with a lot less pressure to succeed. And so that's just something I've experienced a lot, but also is a very big juxtaposition against what we saw with the Conan situation.
Well, and in that case, then can we acknowledge two things are stirring in me? Can we acknowledge like that's not your path? You know, I'm thinking of a company that I did some work for after I quit Target, and I look at some of the people that are still there and I think, shit, you know, I could have really been making bank. I could have been really helping a lot of people. But and also anytime that I start to like go down that comparison road, I remind myself like that's not my path. Like that just wasn't what that wasn't supposed to be my journey, you know, or in your case, like maybe it wasn't supposed to be their journey to like skyrocket to VP. Maybe there was some other life experience. For me, the life experience that I know I needed to have and would not have had is becoming a mom, you know, and like going through foster care. So I don't know what else did Conan do with his life? You know,
he hosted the Conan show on TBS for a long time. People really liked Conan Without Borders. So I think that's going to come back where he like travels to other countries. He's very, very smart. Like he went to Harvard. He was the editor of the Harvard Lampoon. Like he's both very, very smart and very high EQ, I would say. Like someone has to have a very high EQ to keep their crew with them across the country and for 10 years. And he kept that same crew that wanted to be there like throughout his TBS show. And I know that he still works with a lot of that same crew now as a podcaster, right? He sold his podcast to Sirius XM and is like one of the top podcasts in the country.
So I guess, can we look to that then? Maybe this is becoming an episode on topics that you weren't expecting around me, but I think about like the comparison trap that we'll fall into sometimes. And can you look to Conan's experience and be like, holy shit, look at all those incredible life experiences that he got to have.
Oh, for sure.
I'm not saying you're saying this, but I'm just saying for listeners who are out there and they're thinking, oh, maybe I should be a Fallon and like stick it out. Or maybe you're going to be a Conan and have some really incredible life experiences and build some really rich relationships. Because that's the other thing that I look at right now. Man, I might get emotional. I just had a coaching session yesterday with a person that I was like, holy crap. This is such an incredible human being that I would never have had the privilege to know if I would have stayed at Target. Rami, I don't think we would be doing this right now if I had stayed at Target. So it's like, yeah, maybe I could have been making a lot more money by now, blah, 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 better VP, blah, like whatever. Life can be rich in many different ways. And I'm grateful that Conan had a rich life and Fallon is having a rich life too, right? But like, no matter what the path is, can we acknowledge the richness of both?
Absolutely. Before I wrap up, which I will in a second, I think we might still have a podcast, but it would be called Inside the Bullseye.
That's really funny. And yeah, you're probably right.
Okay. So all of this wrapping up to say, who knows, right? The right option is for you, but someone promising you something 5 years in the future seems like a way to get you to settle without giving you anything. That's my only thing is like, I think it's really hard to have someone say, we're going to give you this, or we're going to do this for you. Unless you have it in writing and it comes with a lot of money, which Conan's did, right? It said, we're going to pay you more now. And then we're also going to give you this. And we're legally bound to do those things. I think they're just false promises to keep you there. And if people are trying to keep you there, that means that other people really want you to. And maybe there's exciting opportunities for you elsewhere. That's all.
Yeah, in more ways than just money. If I could just add that little.
Yes,
more absolutely. Ways than just money or prestige or power.
That's good it. Episode, that's what Rami. I got. We talked about it. The late. I want to know who you guys' favorite late show person is. Is it Colbert? I really like Colbert.
Oh, yeah, he was fun.
Is it Seth Meyers? He's fun.
I've Jimmy seen Kimmel him in Stand Up Live
has like really turned things around. I really like where he's at these days. He's like really punchy. I think having kids maybe does that to a person. Let us know who your favorite late night host is. Could be David Letterman. It could be Johnny Carson. I'm cool with any of those. Arsenio Hall. He hosted a show for a while. I really liked Muppets Tonight when that was on for a year.
Oh, maybe you would with your love of the Muppets.
I don't know. So let us know. But we'd love for you guys to connect with us on social, LinkedIn, Instagram. Connect with us. Let us know. We'd love to chat with you guys. Hopefully you got something interesting out of this, or at least a nice anecdote about how much I like Conan and dislike Jimmy Kimmel and or Fallon and
Jay Leno. Well, with that, I've been Shannon.
I've been Rami, and this has been Workplace Hugs.